Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another exciting episode of Vino Volley. I'm your host, Michael Wall, and along with me is my very ripped co-host,
Ryan Rebecca. I've been lifting weights. Mike, I'm coming in hot tonight.
You and me both, brother.
We are both fired up. I'm coming in hot. I'm like a Samoan making a batch into an active lava field. I'm coming in so hot. I'm like Sean Kemp, mid-90s, with at least 13 babies' mamas.
I didn't know you were going with the Samoan. The jizzing into a volcano is...
Oh, full-blown...
No, you painted a picture.
Killaway and hand gallop. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. So that's where I'm coming from.
Wow. Well, hey, man, we're back in action. It feels like it's been a while. It's only been like 2 weeks, but it just... I think just because... A lot's been going on in both of our lives.
A lot has transpired in the last few weeks.
Yes. So let's start with you, buddy.
Oh.
How have you been?
Where do I start? I am both emotionally and physically exhausted. It is April break from teaching.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been off this whole week gearing up for the final stretch of school. And even though it's a week off, work is work, however you look at it.
Sure.
My 72-year-old father and I, as well as my 4-year-old son... Spread about 4.5 yards of loam yesterday. Level out the backyard to give my
now. Can you convert that for our English listeners? What would that be in the metric system?
Close. Because a meter's 39 inches.
Oh, okay.
So like
I was like close to what?
So it'd be close to 100 cubic centimeters. Yeah. Yeah, because a meter is 100 centimeters. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I get it. I did it.
Yeah.
I'm doing it.
So there you go.
I'm exhausted.
Yeah. You look it.
Thank you. Yeah. Big sun this week. Weather's nice, but spreading a lot of loom, flatten out the yard so the kids can, you know, play back there. Because I swear to God, if I try to give my son, either one of my boys, another pass right to their feet and the ball goes askew either which way because my yard is up and down like a horse drawers, I'm going to fucking lose it. Anyway. Speaking of losing it,
the
spring soccer season has started, and oh, what a season it has been. Our first game got rained out, and my youngest had his first game this past weekend. So much fun. My team's a fucking wagon. I have all kindergartners amongst teams of kindergartners and pre-K kids. These kids are passing. They are ripping bar down, and it is so much fun. My oldest also had his first game. Had a first game. It was super exciting. So happy to be back out there coaching. I learned a lesson. I don't know if I want to say valuable. Let's start at the end and work our way back. Yours truly can add to his coaching resume a 1-game suspension due to a 0-tolerance infraction. Now, for those of you who don't know what that is, it's been told to me that I cannot address, speak to, or question the referee on the field at any point in time for any call whatsoever.
This is an audio medium, so as Ryan said that, my eyes damn near rolled into the back of my head because of how ridiculous that statement is. We'll obviously have a little back and forth on that, but Ryan, please continue.
Yeah, it was. It culminated in... I'm going to backtrack. I'm very passionate.
As we both are.
I've coached numerous sports at the high school level. I've been coaching youth sports for almost 8 years now. I hold my athletes to a super high standard. They're always working hard, and I want them to succeed all the time. And I want to set a great example for them that hard work is fun. That's our motto. We break down every practice, every game with work hard, have fun. And it gets a little frustrating when kids are doing the right thing, they're making the right plays, and egregious calls are going against your team. Now, some of you might say, you know, they're 9 and 10 years old, but I think it's a bigger lesson of like, you know, things can come at you life-wise where, you know, things might not go your way, or things might be unfairly put forth against you, however you want to look at that. And like, you've got to be someone or you have to stand up for it.
Right. But again, also to set the stage, even though the players are 8, 9 years old, the referee was somewhere 16 years of age.
He was an upper class. I guess he was probably between 16 and 18 years old.
Okay. Yeah. So, all right. So, again, Ryan is not yelling at a child. He's passionately explaining his displeasure with what seemed like an erroneous call to a damn near adult.
Yeah, so it culminated in a tie game. Super exciting back-to-back game. We get the ball in their half. We put a ball into one of our faster midfielders. He's one-on-one with the defender. He puts it through the kid's legs. He cleanly nutmegs the kid. And the kid goes to turn and pretty much looked like a basketball crossover. Like he just fell down. Like his ankles broke. This kid is in on net, one-on-one. Whistle blows. Play is dead. And he says, it's going the other way. And I'm like, calmly at first, I'm like, okay, what's the call? Right? Hey, ref, what's the call? He pulled his jersey. Well, that's when I start to get a little bit more animated and passionate. I say, it's tough to pull someone's jersey if the kid's laying on the ground because he fell down. He got crossed up. Couldn't, and he ended up on the ground. My guy's in on net. I was like, I don't understand how that's possible. And the referee looks me in the eyes. He goes, well, maybe you should watch the game closer. Okay, sure. Kid put me in my place. I was quiet after that. Game ends, 1-1 tie. I go and talk to the referee at the end. Hey, great game. You know, you were super consistent on throw-ins. There were a couple things I didn't agree with, but you know what? You put me in my place. All the more power to you. I respect the hell out of you. You're doing a tough job that not a lot of people want to do. Keep up the good work. Have a great season. I shake his hand. I go on my way.
Back to present.
Like, get in the time machine. And now the governing body of Massachusetts soccer has handed me down a 1-game suspension for zero tolerance. So I no longer can address, speak to, or motion to the referee at any point in any of our games moving forward.
And I think you had also mentioned that there was another incident where, again, kind of one-on-one, kids going in on goal, the defender slide tackles, which this league, yep, at this age, there's no slide tackle.
Cannot go to the ground to make a play.
No call.
No call.
So again, there was another egregious miss.
Yeah.
So here's my issue. As obviously, I feel like I was one of the non-immediate vicinity parents who heard the play-by-play. To my understanding, it sounds like, yes, you had a passionate exchange due to a disagreement.
Yeah.
But after the game, you didn't pursue. You didn't continue to voice your opinion, as there's nothing that could be done. You went over to him. You respectfully commended him for what he did well, shook his hand, and that was that.
Yeah.
So, and again, I think I was like, wanted you to just like
get scorched earth,
get a tribunal together, like, you know, make your case. To me, it's just like, what are we doing? So the way I saw it and the way I explained it to you is, you obviously stress hard work for your players. Hard work, have fun. Yes, it's 9 years old, but as you said, a 9-year-old is not going to speak up for themselves. So that's what a parent is there for. That's what a coach is there for. Mm-hmm. Again, and you're talking to someone who's almost a near adult. You weren't like verbally abusing and continue to lash out as we've seen some parents do. I think there was a game last year where like the ref almost started to cry because the opposing team's parents kept verbally assaulting. So like, that's abusive. Yeah. That should not happen. But we should be able to have conversations that you sometimes get animated, you sometimes get heated, when it resolves itself of just a natural and amicable situation. That's it. You shake hands, you walk away. Like, what more could you want? And I think, like, the, you know, we talked about the frustration is you as a teacher, right? You're dealing with kids potentially the same age. Now, this kid, if he was in your school, could call you every name in the book.
Oh, 100%.
And in today's day and age, he's going to get what? An in-school suspension?
I mean, at probably the max.
Whereas, like, back in the day, like, that's it. You're out. You're expelled. So it's just like, where I feel like, not to go down a rabbit hole, but it's all building up. So we're building this generation that thinks that they don't have to deal with any confrontation and that they're always in the right. I think that's, you know, probably an overgeneralization, yeah. but in these two isolated incidents, that's what it feels like. And I'm like ready to be a character witness when you when you go and do an official appeal. I'll come in a full suit, state my case.
Well, it's funny you mentioned appeal because it was I was told that even if I want to appeal the one game suspension, it wouldn't go through because they go right by the letter of the law that you cannot.
Which is just like,
listen, I've said it numerous times for numerous years. Another chapter of my life, when the boys are out of school, when they're done playing sports, I'm going to be a youth soccer referee, and I'm going to freaking be the best one out there. I'm going to be the most consistent. I'll want to ref anything that's U10 and under.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, you get younger kids that are a little more inexperienced, which is fine. Like,
yeah.
they're trying to make some extra money. It's not easy. There's not a lot of refs. Like, sure. I've had a ref probably half a dozen games over the last 3 years of travel soccer because, like, there's just not enough.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't know.
But also to that point, like, and talked about the other example where the kid slid in.
Yeah.
You can't do that.
Can't do it.
Do you think that every 16-year-old to 18-year-old kid is reading the entire rule book? Probably not. Is probably grown up playing the game.
Yeah.
Understands that there is slide tackling. If you thought it was a clean tackle, doesn't really register that there is no tackle.
It's a like good soccer play.
Right, exactly. So if you don't say anything to him, then he doesn't register that it's wrong. So it could happen in another game.
Yeah.
In another game. And someone could potentially get hurt because obviously these 9-year-old kids, they're not going to be, you know, super clean with their tackles. So it's like you have an obligation to say something.
Yeah.
So again, I'm... not the fact that we're best friends, but I like from my picture of society, I'm 100% in your corner. I'll draft up. I'll get all my lawyer friends and families. We're going to take this to the Supreme Court if we have to, because this is an egregious offense and it needs to be rectified.
Yeah. Well,
so anyway,
if you're not busy every Saturday from here until June at 1 o'clock. That's when our games are. So
you know, I do love a good youth sporting event where I don't have any skin in the game, but I will get 1,000% invested. I don't know. I don't know how else to be. You know.
Before we continue dwelling in the negative, you have had a life. I would say a core memory moment over the last couple of weeks. Let's talk about the magic in which has been your last couple of weeks. Goosebumps.
Our hair's starting to stand up. So I did say that this was the, if I could consider top moments of my life, I think this is top five. So obviously marrying my wife.
One.
Birth of my child.
Two.
Getting my dog.
Three.
Going to Anfield. That was four.
Four.
I actually don't know what the fifth one is. It was... I still like just don't know how to explain it. It couldn't have been. It was short, but it was perfect, and it was just like all the stars aligned. So, getting to Liverpool and first going, you know, taking an Uber to go see Anfield, it rises like a cathedral. It just like start. It just appears out of nowhere, and then there's houses just like. That are just adjacent to it, but it's just it. I don't know what it is about it. Like obviously, like you know, there's Fenway. Like there's a lot of stadiums in the United States that have that nostalgia, but this was like nothing. And maybe it's because again, I don't have ready access to it. Like you know, it's not like I can.
Yeah, I'm sure. Like if someone saw Gillette Stadium for the first time, they're like, "Oh my god, the lighthouse!"
But not
and
even
this
like the lighthouse, but like, it's not close.
Yeah,
it literally is like a house of worship. Like it just like. It has this aesthetic, like the new Anfield Road End stand is beautiful. And so I did, you know, we did all the touristy things. You know, appreciate my cousin Anthony for partnering me on this trip. He's been before, so he's like, we need to do this, we need to do that. But we went, and the day of the game was awesome. I was able to find the brick that I have in the Anfield Road End area, the Anfield Forever Stone. So that was amazing. Obviously did like the stereotypical like touristy thing of, I got to take a picture with the Shankly Gates, you know, take a picture at the field. But I want to say a special thanks to Pat and his boss, nice. Steph, for not only getting us the tickets, but upgrading us to the hospitality suite.
It, so sweet.
It was. So it's just, it's like this just huge hospitality area. They are, it's like a full roast dinner. Okay. And this was, the game was at 2. We got there at 11. Now I had, I made sure every day I had myself a full English because.
When in Rome.
When English food, there's certain things they don't do right, but breakfast, man, they hit it right on the head. Well, except for the bacon.
I was going to say, so how's the streaky bacon? Because it just.
No, but you know what they make up for it with the sausages.
Yeah.
100%. Sausages are just like, and then I'm a big fan of the blood pudding, mm-hmm. but the eggs, the toast, the hash browns, it all works. So kind of like paint the picture of the day. We started off early, had a nice English breakfast, and then, you know, got ready, made our way down to Liverpool. We got there around 11 local time for a 2 o'clock game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, did the pictures, got that out the way, because that was the game day was the only time that area was open. Otherwise, it's blocked off.
Okay.
So, find ourselves a pub, nice pint of Guinness, because again, you're here.
Yep.
So smash that, then head into the hospitality area, where again, it's this massive roast dinner.
Like active carving station?
Oh, yeah. Several. So, there's different...
To interject,
yeah.
Imagine getting like tuned up, primed at a pub to like go to this game and then be like, hold on, let me just put down like side of game.
I couldn't touch an ounce of, I was still so full from breakfast and smashing the Guinness. So I'm sitting there like, and like the, you know, the staff who were sweet as can be, you know, coming over and they're like, can I get you anything? I'm like, I'm going to be on a liquid diet. Like, I'm just so full. So, like, go through. It was, had a couple, like, glass of wine, a couple, as I said, Di Serrano's to try and help the digestion.
Yeah.
And then, so we, again, we're at, like, a table of 10. There's tables of 2, tables of 4. It's all dependent on the tickets, mm-hmm. who you got the tickets from. So, Anthony and I are at, like, a table of 10. It's just the two of us for up until maybe 30 minutes prior to game time.
Okay.
These gents come in and kind of speaks to what I found from Liverpool as a culture as a whole. It's very similar to how I felt in Ireland, mm-hmm. is that people from Liverpool love where they come from so much that's what they like, that's how they project and want you to feel. So they're just very welcoming. Now these guys could have, exchanged pleasantries and said, all right, well, enjoy the game, you know, and that was it.
Yeah.
But no, they, you know, made a point to, once the game was over, they came over, they got us wristbands into another hospitality area where we met their buddy who apparently we got the tickets from.
Okay.
From that point,
They were like your scouts, shepherds.
Yes. So we went there, drinking more. I met the guy, the federal agent who put the handcuffs on Whitey Bulger in California. Just by happenstance, like, so again, continuing just drinking, enjoying. But so talk about the atmosphere. Singing You'll Never Walk Alone was just, everyone's like, did you cry? And I was like, I probably would have if the angst of the game.
Yeah.
Because again, at that point, this was a game that if we won, we went top of the league. And then Arsenal was playing City later. We obviously know how that turned out.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just like, you know, we know where we're at now. But at that point, it couldn't have been any better.
Right.
We got perfect weather. It was raining up until the day we arrived. Then we had 2 beautiful days. But so it was just, but singing it with the entire Anfield crowd was just amazing. And then, so there was a small area of Brighton fans, and obviously they scored first, so they start chirping, and Anthony was just like, watch this. It was like something out of the opening scenes of Gladiator, where I think they're the Turks. Anyway, they start like chanting, and then it was basically like once the Roman Empire, Liverpool, heard them chanting, they were like, all right, we're going to show you the noise we can make. So the cop starts it, and like a cacophony, just
deafening.
It erupts. And so I was, needless to say, a little animated, may have caused the man in front of me to go deaf from sheer volume, but I wanted to to experience it all. So we did. And then, again, these gents were nice enough to kind of take us out. We went downtown Liverpool, went to a bar, smashed some Guinness, had some laughs, watched the end of the City-Arsenal game, which obviously at the end of the day, we were top of the league. So singing songs, and it was amazing. And then to make it even more special, I was able to see Pat. He took the 2-hour drive to come up and see me at the hotel. And I was happy.
Did you bring him Michelob Ultras?
A whole suitcase full of. So I packed 40. I originally had 48. And then when I was trying to, like, I reshuffled them to kind of get a better, like, more compact. Mm-hmm. Once, like, one tab caught the other can. So we were down to 40. I wasn't going to buy a single. So we were down to 47. 46 healthy Michelob Ultras made the trip across the pond. Finest. One exploded, or just got punctured, but 46, so I was able to give him his suitcase. I was able to provide him, my mother-in-law had made some lovely ornaments for him, a West Ham one and a Patriots one and a couple other things. But it was just, the only thing we didn't get to do is actually take a picture to record that this actually happened. Was such a missed opportunity. But it was so great to catch up with him, meet a friend of his, who he also met in Cancun, who actually lived in England, but we kind of like ships passing the night. We never met each other in Cancun, but it was, a great, like, probably couldn't have asked for a better way to cap off the trip, of just being able to sit down, have a few drinks, and catch up with someone again. And I don't know if I've really, I don't know if I've truly told the story, but Pat and I met almost 17 years ago at Cancun in spring break. And that was it. We spent a couple days just hanging out poolside, having drinks, and you're like, okay, like, you know, oh, like, yeah, you have Facebook, like, yeah, we'll keep in touch on Facebook. And here and there we would, you know, message each other, but it was really this podcast that really, I wanted to engage and get Pat's perspective. So that kind of brought us back into the fold, and we chat daily now. So it's all just funny how everything works out. But to cap it all off, it was something I'll never forget.
I mean, the couple times that we've talked about it in person, you've gotten visible goosebumps.
Yeah, like my hair just keeps standing on end. I struggle to find words to say, like, to just articulate it as I'm fumbling here. But it was nothing short of just pure magic. I can't wait to go back. I can't wait. You know, I want you to be there. I want Ellen. I want to take everyone. So. But yeah.
It's been a ride.
And then fast forward to, you know, last weekend, where they were down at halftime to Crystal Palace. And I text you and I go, you know, I was so, so filled with rage. I was like, if I don't do something, it's like I'm either going to throw up and shit my pants at the same time. Like, something has to come out. Like, I'm just busting at the seams. So I was like, would it surprise you if I told you that at halftime, I just quietly walked outside, grabbed an axe, and proceeded to hack at a dead tree stump until I couldn't feel my arms?
It was honestly the most unsurprising thing.
Correct.
From you, yeah.
And I thought that that was the smart thing to do, is go, expend the energy.
Channel your energy.
Channel it.
Yeah. Away from your house and family.
You know. So yeah, and here we are, you know, it's been riding the highs of being top of the league to where we are now. We're hoping for some magic. We're hoping for some magic on tomorrow, Thursday.
Yeah.
Just hoping that they can, you know, somehow score 4+ goals without leaking any. Don't have high hopes, but hey, if any team can do it, it's this one.
Time will tell.
So yeah. That, I'm sweating.
Yeah, that was a...
What are we talking about?
I don't know. Where am I?
Oh, right. We, today, in this hour, are going to be talking about the effect globally, personally, professionally, of some of the greatest football players to ever play the game, soccer players. It's the Messi-Ronaldo effect. And so to all our Vino Voliers out there, it is time to pop those corks, indulge in a healthy pour, and dive stud showing into today's episode. So, Rye Guy.
Yes.
Shortly, you're going to tell the people the wine we're going to be drinking today. But again, as we always try and tie the wine to the topic, as Messi and Ronaldo, the pinnacle of their career was in the Spanish La Liga, we will be drinking a Spanish wine.
Spanish.
And beat me to it. And also the team that will be on the chopping block for this episode is going to be none other than Manchester United. And again, the tie-in was because obviously Messi never played in the Premier League, but Ronaldo did. And his team was Manchester United. So that will be the team later on that we will be talking about punching in the face.
Gross. Insert fart noise here.
But Rye Guy, why don't you tell the people about the wine we will be drinking today?
All right. This evening, we are going to be drinking the Breca Garnacha. It is very highly rated on wine.com, including a 93 and a 92 from James Suckling. It is currently on sale, normally 22. On here, you can now get it for $17.99. The winemaker notes are as follows. An authentic wine produced from the original Garnacha, which was first cultivated in Aragon. Is that a...
Strider!
Yeah. In the 7th century and spread around Europe by the medieval kingdom of Aragon. Ooh, this is going to be a tough one to pronounce. Calatayud produces a unique expression of Garnacha due to its geographic and climatic conditions. That must be like... No, it's not Catalan, because it's Calatan. Whatever.
Yeah.
As Spain's highest altitude region for the production of Garnacha, the temperature swings are radical. Up to 60 degrees Fahrenheit in the summer. That's the temperature swing.
Dang.
Yeah.
Huh.
Huh. This produces wines that are deep in color and character as well as lively acidity. The wine is characterized by aromas of ripe black fruit overlaid with spices such as black pepper. There is an obvious minerality to the wine preceding the vineyard's diverse range of soil types. Getting scientific on this bitch.
All right, well, after having Christina, we got to do her proud with our tasting notes, so... Are you ready for our... Or did you have more to read? Did I cut you off?
No, that's it.
Oh, okay. Shall we cheers?
We shall.
All right.
Oh, that's a good one. That was good. Usually I hold it lower, so I think that was a little bit shorter of a sound.
I was trying to get it in the caboose, but it's actually, right. It should be above where the wine is, because that'll...
Okay, eye test. This is like a sensual red.
It is nice.
Like, I'm thinking that if you had, like a 69 Camaro in this color, like, oof. I don't know. It's a sexy red.
It is. It's a nice ruby red, like dark ruby red.
Not super strong nose-wise. But I've also been, like, chock full of loom.
I think it's just, I mean, we'll probably, it definitely needs to open up a little bit more. Maybe we'll get a little bit in a little bit, but. I'm just getting fruit. I don't know if I get. I don't really get anything earthy, any minerally smells. A lot of red fruit on the nose.
Boom! Black pepper fucking hits you right in the teeth.
Hell yeah, it does.
Friggin' plays with your uvula.
The dangly ball at the back of the throat.
That is true.
Oddly sexual, but it's not.
Oddly sexual.
Yeah, definitely. It's
baked red cherries, strawberries. Some white pepper and black pepper spices. So.
Definitely getting the spices. I don't know. I don't know if I get as much the strawberry. Definitely get the cherry.
Yeah, I'm getting strawberries. I'm getting like a...
See, I'm getting more than...
Almost like a sweetened... I'm trying to think if you were like... Almost like...
Jolly Rancher?
No, but I could see that. I'm thinking more of like a pie, like a strawberry pie type thing. Like almost like in a... like. Sweetened baked strawberry is what I'm getting with the black pepper. I'm getting better.
I'm getting like cherry Jolly Rancher.
I see that as
with
well.
With the pepper. It's definitely, it's not overly dry, but it's definitely like, I can feel, yeah. I drank a lot of water today, so, but I can just feel it.
I'm getting, live with me, back of the throat, right? Corners of the throat. I'm getting like a hint of like, dark tobacco. Like I'm getting almost like a lingering, like if you just put down like a darker cigar and like gave it a few minutes. I'm getting it like in the back corners of my mouth. All in all, so far, like it's pretty good.
I do enjoy it. I'm not getting it, but maybe get there. Again, I feel because I've kind of been swishing it around. Mm. I'm definitely feeling like moisture is sapped from my gums.
Yep.
But again, very much the Cherry Jolly Rancher, black pepper. It's a good combo.
Yeah, I like it.
I had lox, by the way, and I enjoyed it. First time.
Yeah, it's hit or miss.
But I mean, I don't really like fish, so I thought that was a big thing for me.
There you go. Look it.
But again, like the pairing, I don't know. I never been like, oh, like I'm having this, I should have white wine. It's just like, I like it. But I think, yeah, like a nice, like St. Louis style rib, like a nice bit of char on it.
Yeah, I like that. Cool. So, as you mentioned before, our adventure today is the Messi Ronaldo effect.
So, and what I mean in that is obviously we'll talk a little bit about the impact they've had on the game mm-hmm. as a whole. So we'll kind of go into some overall stats, maybe some that we found interesting. Also talk about the GOAT debate where either of us stand on it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, obviously it's a very divided fan base, so I'm just curious.
Very much so.
What your thoughts are. You know, I'll obviously share my own. And then just as their careers have progressed outside of La Liga, where obviously, you know, it was mm-hmm. just the two of them going back and forth. Like some interesting statistics to kind of show the impact that they just have on the game overall. So that's what we just want to talk about. I know, Ryan, you have a little bit at least on Messi that you wanted to mm-hmm. share. So do you want to start with that, or do you want to kind of go through some of the statistics that we had we were looking at earlier?
I mean, it's fairly common knowledge. I had to revisit it not that long ago. The idea that not 100% this is the reason. But, you know, Messi in Barcelona, why he stayed there so long, where he could have gone somewhere else. So he was born with, like, a genetic predisposition for a unique type of dwarfism.
Mm-hmm.
I could look it up. I'm not going to. But the idea that at a young age he was so talented soccer-wise that his video made its rounds that this, you know, this kid from Argentina could be, like, the next big thing. Folks over at Barcelona get a hold of the tape and they're like, all right. He has whatever this condition is. We can give him the medical treatment necessary so he'll grow to a more average height. Now, he's obviously very short of stature. But the idea that he went to Barcelona because, you know, they pretty much had a medicinal hand in making him maybe have a professional soccer career, because without the treatment, I think he would have had a much more like a pronounced form of dwarfism. Now, not like, again, I'm not throwing out numbers here because I don't want to be wildly incorrect with a genetic predisposition, but
you're going to anyway.
No, I've been in enough trouble this past week. So, but the idea that, you know, he's been on something along the lines of like HGH or something like that from a young age to help him grow through puberty, or else he just like flat out wasn't going to grow.
Now, that, I mean, that's wild. Do you feel like Messi Ronaldo is the perfect example of natural talent versus hard work? Not to say that like Ronaldo wasn't born with like, but like the dude is a specimen, right? The dude grinds, is a specimen. Yeah. He grinds like... He sacrifices so much to be at the pinnacle of physical fitness, where you have like Messi, who kind of just like trots along, but like then the ball gets to his feet and it's like a fucking yo-yo and he just like pulls players in and then pulls the ball back. So it's just kind of interesting, as we'll obviously talk about it in a little bit greater detail. But when you talk about the greatest of all time and you compare these two, it really does feel like Messi is just one that was gifted with natural ability.
Yeah.
And obviously kind of from a physical perspective had some deficiencies, things. We'll say. Deficiencies. So, but he's always been able to rely on that natural talent, whereas Ronaldo has just continually been one to push himself, never, you know, provide himself any vices to be able to always stay at that peak of physical fitness, so that his, where he gets his strength from is from the perseverance, the hard work, rather than the natural God-given talent. Yes.
I looked it up.
And?
He has a growth hormone deficiency disorder.
Okay.
So, like, he just wasn't going to grow. So, that was at the age of 11.
Okay.
He, so, like, right before puberty, and I guess with this thing, if you don't receive treatment, like, you just, like, don't grow.
So, how tall was he at 11? Does it say? Oh, curious if you, you know.
Insufficient amount of growth hormones in the body leading to impaired growth and development. Now, some may say, and I've read some things on the internet, and the internet can be a wonderful place. Sometimes it can. He might have some things going on.
Go elaborate?
Oh, no. The joke is that he might have a touch of Asperger's or something because he's so...
He looks awkward.
He's got a very odd look to him. Now, again, maybe that plays one into the next with the growth disorder. I don't know.
Like a man, if he wasn't playing soccer, might just like stare awkwardly at the, like for an awkward, like the man who might stare at a lunar eclipse or a solar eclipse, would you say?
I don't know, but I know.
Without the glasses on?
Yeah. I just know that there's some things on the interwebs that like rip him apart being like.
There's, I mean, I've no seen this one Messi's... picture he's at, like, I think it's like the Ballon d'Or, and it's like a picture of him with his wife, and he just it's his wife, and he almost just like, kind of like the Ricky Bobby, like, I don't know what to do with my hands.
Yeah, I think he's just like a weird dude.
Yeah. He's phenomenal.
He's incredibly talented, yeah. And alas.
So again, we talk about natural talent, hard work, I think is a good way. Not that Messi doesn't work hard, but I don't think anybody works as hard as Ronaldo.
No.
No. So it's just curious if Ronaldo had kind of taken like the foot off the gas for like a little bit, would he be able to rely on as much natural talent, or is it his drive, his work ethic that makes him what he is?
Maybe they're one and the same. Maybe his talent is working hard. You know, maybe his like ingrained,
thought-provoking.
His ingrained talent is working hard.
Now, as it comes to the greatest of all time,
yes.
Do you stand on one side or the other?
I will tell you my stance upon the end of the discussion.
Oh, all right. I'm not going to say anything. So
hit the people with some facts. What do we got?
So First of all, I'm going to give a shout out to who the gentleman or lady who created the MessiVsRonaldo.app website.
Tremendous.
It has so many stats. I'll try and link the website on our social media posts, because it was where I was able to pull so many statistics, some of them more telling than others. But talk about the impact that these two have had on the game. A couple big ticket items, goals. Okay, mm-hmm. So... as the last time it stood, Messi had 828 goals. Ronaldo had 885. So they did a stat where it was, or like, because every, that's like my biggest pet peeve is this player comes on the scene like Joao Felix or Erling Haaland, and they're like, oh, it's the next Messi, it's the next Ronaldo. And it's like, can't really say that, because no. These guys have been dominating the game for decades. So like, you don't know if this person's going to be the next Ronaldo until 30 years down the line, you can be like, yes, like this was because they do it for 10, for 50. So they had Erling Haaland scored whatever, like 50, you know, whatever 50 something goals or whatever it was. They said for him to equal Ronaldo's like record, he would have to score 40 plus goals for the next 17 seasons.
Yeah. Like it's
unreal. Like, it's a fool.
Cause not for nothing. Like Norway's not going anywhere crazy internationally.
Correct.
Yeah,
but it's just wild. So that was, I mean, goals alone, and they've scored some worldies, right? You know?
Oh, yeah.
Left foot, right foot, you know. That's also funny, is the fact that Messi's left-footed and Ronaldo's, you know, just... like
juxtaposition.
The yin and the yang.
Really. The tater and the tot.
The balls and the taint.
The ball.
Who's the taint? So assists, 365 towards Messi, 250 towards Ronaldo. And I think that, I mean, no one would be surprised with that. It's probably one of my, I think it's what you love about him, but also like sometimes it's a pet peeve for me with Ronaldo, is that the man is, I feel like, more, he'd be happy winning, like his team winning, but only if he was the one who got them there. Like, I feel like he's always been more interested in the individual acolytes than like, hey, let's collectively win as a team. It's like, no, I want to win because I scored 3 goals put the team on my shoulders.
Right. He wants the team to win on his terms.
Whereas, again, Messi scores a lot of goals, but there's going to be another stat that will be more telling of like their style of play. And obviously there's, you know, videos of like people nicking a goal from Ronaldo at the very end and him getting like pissed or he doesn't get past the ball. So there's just like, but again, it's what makes him so good is that selfishness, that ability that he always wants to put it, and he's made for some memorable moments. A couple other stats that I found very interesting were the key passes. So Messi has made over 1,400 key passes, whereas Ronaldo was 942. Honestly, that was higher than I thought for Ronaldo. But the other one was big chances created, 408 to 176. So again,
with Messi in the lead.
With Messi in the lead. Sorry. Yeah. So 408, again, he is obviously free kicks specialist, you know, amazing with that left foot. But he's also the one who can facilitate the play. And I think that also comes into where they are positionally in the game. Messi more of a midfielder, you know, Ronaldo more of like a striker winger. Mm-hmm. But again, 408 to 176. Messi's going to look for the open man to lead,
right,
to score. Ronaldo's going to take it on his right foot and rip an absolute fucking piss missile.
I do notice it says league plus Champions League since 2010, 2011. So those stats go back further. So like, that's still a tremendous number, like 406 big chances created.
Wild.
And that's only in the last 13 years.
Wild, yeah.
So.
It's funny, Messi does have on average a better match rating of 8.54. Ronaldo only has 7.95. Free kick conversion rate, 9%. Ronaldo, 7%. That's just, I mean.
No, I know. They've been doing it for so long at such a high level that it is incredible.
Yeah, I mean.
As you click on something, it crashes your
computer. Yeah, I mean, there's a couple ads in here. We got it. So, Messi scores a goal every 105 minutes. Ronaldo every 112. Every 73 minutes per goal contribution for Messi, 87 minutes. Dude, this guy, like,
this is awesome.
So he has a breakdown. Just to kind of like give this dude or woman props, they have all-time career stats, all-time career without United States and Saudi Arabia, all-time club stats, all-time club Europe, all-time league Europe. It's like in each one, you go into it, so it'll give you like appearances, assists, goals, and the breakdown, and then you can get into like the detailed stats. It is
very Henry David Thoreau.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. So again, you talk about the stat, like they are neck and neck, and it was when they were both in La Liga and Barcelona and Real Madrid, the pinnacle of the Champions League. It was just like, oh, like Ronaldo bags a hat trick. Now he's ahead of Messi in the, you know, total Champions League goals. And then, oh, okay, like, you know, Messi scored two. So it's just like in their prime, there was nothing like it in sports. And I was reading an article, I can't remember where I pulled it from, but they talked about the impact that they had on the game is very similar to the impact that Tiger Woods had on the game of golf.
Mm-hmm.
So Tiger Woods steps on the scene and absolutely begins to dominate the competition. Now in golf, they had a term. Basically, Tiger would come into a tournament like the Masters and would score like 20 under.
Yeah.
And then they had a term they called it, they had to Tigerize it. So they basically had to make it longer, narrower, rough line. Like they made it so much more difficult so that it was not that other people could compete, but that he wasn't going to run away with it.
Right.
So in soccer, you just don't have that. You don't have the ability to tigerize the game of soccer. So these two have stood on the shoulders of so many others and just continue to dominate the game at a level that I don't know. At we may see flashes of players who can replicate that.
Right.
But I don't think we'll ever see not two, but one that can replicate it for that prolonged period of time, whether it be your body fails you or you just, you lose your fastball. Yeah. So it is amazing. And so obviously, like, you know, all the power to them, the peak of their career, but that's not where their career ended. Obviously, we know that Ronaldo went to Juventus, Messi eventually went to PSG, and now at the, we'll say, the twilight years of their career, Ronaldo is in Saudi, still cleaning house.
Yeah.
And Messi is in MLS. So kind of wanted to talk a little bit about the Messi-Ronaldo effect at the later stages of their career.
Love it.
So I do have a couple... couple stats. So a couple about Ronaldo. So on average, Ronaldo helped to fill an additional 20% of seats in his home team's stadium when he played, and 15% of seats in the stadiums he visited, and 3% of the seats when he didn't even play. Like, he could be on the bench. And, like, the mere presence.
People just wanted to be in the building.
Yeah. So and again, this one, I love this one. I really hope it's correct, but it did come from a Saudi source. But the basically, like, the head of, like, the Saudi media said that signing Cristiano Ronaldo to play in Saudi Arabia has helped broadcast the league to 140 countries and increased the league revenue by 650%.
They don't need the money.
I know they don't. But it's also, like, I kind of feel like that's, like, the you know, like the North Korean, like, headlines where he's
also
like, Kim Jong's just like, he played 18 holes and got 18 hole-in-ones. Like, he's the best. You know.
He's also 10 feet tall.
But also, like, a testament to the Ronaldo effect is he was the first, I'd say, real big name. There were players that definitely went over to the Saudi league, but he was the first real big name to go over, put a face to it. Mm-hmm. And then, and we talked about this when we talked about the Saudi effect, but here, like, the following year, you had Neymar, Sadio Mane, Otavio, Fabinho, Ruben Neves, Fofana, Alan Saint-Maxim, Benzema, Mitrovic, Riyad Mahrez, Firmino, N'Golo Kanté. Like,
wait, how come he didn't go high?
Hmm?
He went...
Oh, for the love of God, Ryan.
Go low.
Got it. Yeah, go low.
Try to keep me
Okay.
It's been a week.
It has been a week. But again, all those... And that was like the following year. So it's like one player, and then everyone's just like, oh, Ronaldo's there. Yeah. Like, it's just like... It's just crazy. And then on the Messi effect, obviously Messi going to MLS, Inter Miami, instantly became like that. The pink, like, Inter Miami is like one of the fastest selling shirts. Mm-hmm. I tried to get stats on, like, overall shirt sales. I couldn't do it, but I thought that would have been an interesting one. But fans in attendance, Sporting KC played Inter Miami at Sporting KC. 72,610. It was... In their attendance, the highest attendance they've ever had for a game other than, like, a friendly where the other team was Manchester United. So these are two MLS teams, and the attendance was over 20,000 more people.
It's insane.
And it's just wild. Like, so you talk about the impact that he has on the game. Like, the effect. The other part of it, which I find is wild, but again, it just... truly cements the effect, the Messi effect, is Messi has in his contract that he will not play on turf. So originally, like, okay, well, like, if, you know, like, comes to Gillette Stadium's a turf field, Messi's not going to play. Stadiums that are a turf field are going to lay down a sod field for him to play, based purely on not wanting to miss out on the revenue he's going to bring.
Yeah.
So, like, Gillette Stadium fills for a normal Revs game maybe 20,000. Like, the upper – there's a good chance when Inter-Miami comes, that stadium is going to be filled out.
Oh, loaded.
And it's also, like, in the first Inter-Miami game, I think Messi played 76 minutes. And then, like, you – in droves when he was subbed off – like the amount of people that just left.
Yeah.
It's just wild. So the other crazy stats, I've gotten, you know, I've gone to one or two Revolution games. So, you know, I get emails about season tickets. The big now, like the marketing ploy for season ticket holders for MLS is buy season tickets, which will, you can do different size packages, but it will absolutely include the Inter Miami game.
Yep.
Because the price for like just going to like a Ticketmaster to buy a single game ticket,
yep,
for that game will be more money than it would for a season, Jesus, ticket package. Like if that doesn't solidify, at least from an from our personal perspective, the Messi effect. Yep. We obviously know the Ronaldo effect, but the Messi effect, it's wild.
Yeah.
So I just, it was, you know, it was worth mentioning. I think, you know, we could go on for hours about their impact, but these were some key stats about who they were as players that I thought were interesting, the impact they've had throughout their career. But let's bring it full circle, Rye. Where,
yes.
Where do you stand on Messi, Ronaldo?
I don't care.
But I could give two fucks. Yes,
just because they're so good, they've been so good for so long. Each does their own thing really well, and they both mean a tremendous amount to their club and country, whether it be emotionally, physically, financially,
sexually.
Truly, I can't help anytime I watch someone dribble through someone, I go, I'm Messi, 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 Messi. Like, it just, like, in my head just, like, goes through. Because, like, how many calls with him at Barcelona, like, that's what you would hear. If I had to pick one, and I wish he wouldn't be making the decisions he's currently making nowadays, because I feel like he is kind of, like, tarnishing things on the way out, because he's kind of, like, losing his cool over at the Saudi League. He's yelling at referees. He's like making a display at like trophy celebrations. Like, yeah. And yeah, he's been around long enough to do it. I just like wish he wouldn't act like a prick sometimes, especially in those cases. But, you know, as some of the best players in sports are, they're usually prima donnas. I would lean more towards Ronaldo because I feel like he has more of the rock star superstar effect that I would want a star soccer player to be. Messi is gigantic. He is just as much a superstar, but he's not a rock star. You see what I'm saying? David Beckham, rock star, superstar.
I was waiting for it.
Right?
Hey.
We're in the basement. It's getting warm here, though. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. I think Cristiano Ronaldo falls in that same lane of, like, you know, bigger than the game. He has things going on outside of the game. He does. He has that superstar, rock star lifestyle status, whereas Messi's just like so freaking good at soccer. Like, he's just a superstar amongst the pitch. He did a Michelob Ultra commercial and I was like, okay, cool. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think he has the superstar.
Yeah, but
celebrity.
If you,
I don't think he has the celebrity
on greatest
club
of all time. That I like know. I understand. Like, but yeah,
one A, one B, pick them. Like, whatever.
No, I mean that's where I like. I feel like I'm gonna be like the Switzerland of this.
You're being very neutral. You're facilitating.
I honestly, they play two different positions.
Yeah.
Like, I know people have strong opinions. Like some people who think that the World Cup was rigged. Wild.
Not saying it was.
Games went to penalty kicks.
No, I know. I'm just saying. I'm not saying it was.
But anyway.
Not saying it was.
Okay. I just think, wink, wink, audio medium. I just think that you can't, they're two different games. They play two very different games. They play two different positions. It's not like when you say like Tom Brady is the GOAT. He's a quarterback.
Sure is.
He's matched up against anybody who plays the same position. If they played the exact same position, fine.
Yeah, it'd be
they
a lot
can be
more
the
clear
GOAT
cut
in their respective positions. What they've done for the game, their stats, but they're, again, Ronaldo, the ball is pretty good at his feet, but he would beat you one or two moves, he'd beat you with pace, and then he'd rip an absolute rocket.
Yep.
Messi, it's like a it's a yo-yo.
Yeah.
Right? He dangles the ball out there on a string, and then if you get close, he pulls it in. Even when it looks like it's bobbling, it's all methodical. He knows exactly what he's doing. He knows the bounce. And he'll just lure 2-3 players, weave in, and then maybe dish the ball and then find the open space and curl in with his left foot.
It's all that HGH course control advance.
Yeah, right? It's just, I think, like, it's not to just, like, you know, not be controversial, because, I mean, I love a good confrontation as much as the next person.
Yeah.
If I, like, from a personality perspective,
yeah,
I like Messi better.
Fascinating.
He's unassuming. He's quiet.
Yeah.
I mean, until, like, I saw an interview, I thought he was mute.
So funny you said it, because, like, yeah.
I thought he was, everything's
in Spanish. He refuses to speak.
Right. Anything. He just, like, lets other people speak. He's just like, this guy can't talk. It's just like you watch him.
That's why I think he's got a touch of something. Yeah.
But you watch him, he does magic, and then that's it. Ronaldo is flashy. He's amazing to watch, but there's all the bravado and the shtick that goes with it. It rubs me a little bit more the wrong way. So from a heart of hearts,
yeah,
I'm more of a Messi guy. But if I think you're talking the GOAT,
yeah,
I think they are both the GOAT, and they're and you couldn't convince me otherwise.
Yeah, you can't step foot in Milford, Massachusetts anymore.
We're going to try and go to Portugal next year. That's hopefully right. No one there listens to me. Yeah,
they keep their receipts.
Yeah, Milford, New Bedford, Portugal,
Ludlow.
Probably, yeah. There's, but speaking of the GOAT,
yep.
Go back to this wine. Is this the GOAT of garnachas?
It's a solid transition. It's a
big market transition.
It's good. It's good. I've been sporadically sipping. I got blueberries a little bit after letting it sit, talking for a little bit. I got like warm blueberries, like right up front.
I'm still getting just like sour cherry Jolly Rancher, which is like probably I will say I. As you, I'm not a big cherry guy, fucking but there's something cherry about a cherry Jolly. It is different.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yeah.
Every time my kids are sick and my wife
only buys
cherry medicine, I'm like, you kids are fucking gross. Like, disgusting. Cherry and grape medicine is gross. That's a whole nother episode. Anyway, I'm getting pepper up front. I'm getting strawberries in the middle, and then I'm still getting like dark tobacco in the back towards the tail end. That's what I'm feeling. That's what I'm getting.
All right. Well,
I stand by it.
I would expect nothing less. But as we've kind of our mid round taste of the wine, it's time to get back fife and gazisten. And talk about who on Manchester United we want to fucking smack in the face. You know what?
Everyone, see you next episode.
Yeah. It was a cast of characters. Would you like to go first? We don't have any write-ins, but that's probably my bad because I sent out the social media post yesterday. Again, social media, VinoVolley85 at Instagram. Email us, VinoVolley85@gmail.com. Would you like to go first or would you like me to go first?
I will go first.
Okay.
If that's...
That's fine.
Okay. Now, it's been a very tumultuous year for us being Liverpool fans against Man United. Another very storied franchise of English Premier League soccer. I respect them. I don't need to like them. And I don't like them. Alas. My choice to physically assault on the Manchester United Football Club is none other than Alejandro Garnacho.
Drinking a Garnacha, slugging a Garnacho.
It is on brand, and I'm nothing but intelligent when it comes to branding. All right. He's 19. He's barely reached adulthood.
He's an adult though.
He sure shit is.
You can legally strike them.
I'm gonna fictionally assault him. Where do I begin? Okay.
His braces?
Nope. Oh. I'm going to get there.
Okay.
Let's start overall physical features. He is born in Spain, plays for Argentina.
That's not a physical feature.
Spanish. He looks like what I'm assuming would be an Argentinian Jim Carrey playing the mask. He always looks like he has the green mask on. He has like the high cheekbones, the super small nose, and the weird mouth.
I would have gone Lloyd Christmas because he's kind of... Oh, okay. Wait. Sorry. Don't mean to see
that. Is only compounded by his mid to early 2000s, like Joaquin Phoenix Caesar haircut, which I give a double thumbs down to. He also looks like a pale-skinned Red Skull from the Marvel franchise.
Wow.
Which, if you take a look at this picture, this is the one I want you to post. Okay. He looks like a fair-skinned Red Skull.
You can send that to me.
I will. Now we get to the real part that bothers me. And this is me projecting. I have to look inside myself for this. His teeth. A horse face does not even begin to come close to what Alejandro Garnacho has. Part of me, this animosity comes from jealousy, as my least favorite quality about myself is my teeth. It's a very sensitive topic. So whenever I see
someone trying to better themselves,
a professional soccer player with like the most picture perfect porcelain veneers, I get a little, get a little defensive, get a little upset. As, you know, it's a lot, you know?
Try not to cry.
Especially when you go to the dentist and they look at your x-rays and they go, wow. That was the last time I got x-rays at the dentist. They go, oh, wow. Not a great.
Like, I can hear you.
I was like, is it good? They're like, I've never seen this before ever. I'm like, well, that's good. And like, they bring someone else in from the other room. They're like,
we want some students to see this.
You need to see this. Oh my God. They're like, what has happened? I'm like, I don't know. Anyway, yeah. When I'm better off going to a veterinary clinic for oral care than an actual dentist, that's kind of, you know. I can laugh about it. I'm crying on the inside. Yeah. Anyway, his face is so undoubtedly punchable. It's the perfect massive white teeth. It's the stupid small little nose. It's like the weird furrowed brow. It's a Caesar haircut. And then, yeah, the more I look at him, the angrier I get. And he looks like a South American Red Skull. So there you go. Fuck that guy. He's a twat.
I'm going to get right to it. I
know. I understand. I have bad teeth.
Okay. I get it. I have bad teeth. No. Use it. This isn't going to be funny, I don't think. It's going to be a visceral reaction.
Visceral hatred.
I think that no one on Manchester United deserves to get punched in the face more than none other than Captain Bruno Fernandes.
Hear, hear. Yes, yes.
I think he's a phenomenal player in the fact that he has great skill. He's got a great foot. But the way that he carries himself and the way that he plays the game, I fucking hate. He is the biggest crybaby. I think as a captain, he does not command.
He's the captain of that team?
He's the captain.
Ugh.
He's the captain. I mean, again, don't know what goes on in the dressing room, but I watch him. His on-field presence is always one of negativity, okay? He just is just constantly bitching and moaning,
yep.
Going to the referee, trying to draw the fouls. These, not even close, diving, okay?
Egregious.
Oh, it's awful.
Preposterous.
So, like, that's the first thing is the way he plays the game, because I think, personally, if he just brought the physicality and coupled it with his natural talent,
mm-hmm.
he'd probably be like one of the best. I mean, I think he is still, but like, he'd probably be one of my favorite players.
Really?
Yes, because I think like when he actually is like the way he distributes the ball,
yeah,
the way like he can rip piss missiles, he's a phenomenal player. He's just a fucking bitch.
Yeah, he's a little snake.
Yeah, exactly right.
Yeah.
So I just don't like that. Now, again, probably being hypocritical because I see similarities between him and Luis Suarez, the way he went down when Luis was on, I didn't give a shit. Mm-hmm. So I'm, you know, if you're a Manchester United fan, he wins you a penalty, whether it's a dive or not, you don't care because it's a chance, right, to go on and win the game. So that's fine. I don't care if I'm hypocritical. I don't fucking like it. And again, I'm very objective when it comes to Liverpool players diving. Mm-hmm. If they get the call, great. But yeah, like, especially when it doesn't go that way, I'm the first person to get the fuck up. Like, mm-hmm, don't disrespect the game. Like, right, I want the physicality. So I hate it.
Yeah,
I hate the way he chirps to the refs expecting a call when he clearly barely gets touched. And when, right, he does, it looks like, you know,
his leg's on the roof.
I think there was one incident. It might have, I don't know if it was, I don't think it was a Liverpool game, but I think he actually got hurt. And it's just like, well, if you didn't do what you did,
yeah, crying
if you
wolf,
don't, you know, like, so that, and then take physical ability, way he manifests himself in the game, just the way he looks. He's got a horse face. Like,
oh, jeez. He is not an attractive man. No, like... Also...
I probably would do him a favor by punching him in the face, could cave in the fucking horse teeth he's got, and give him a chance to...
He's got a pretty big beak, too. Again...
Yeah. I know. Projecting. So...
He's only 5'10". I bet you I am bigger than Bruno Fernandes.
Yeah, probably. But again, anything we're talking about, like... I'm not squaring up. Like, again, my method is probably start 20 yards out.
Oh, for someone
I'm gonna
like
just
him,
start running.
I have
as I get close, I'm going to yell his name. And as he turns, I'm just going to just take full momentum, probably dislocate. But, yeah, and then just going to keep going.
No, I bet you he is also schoolgirl bitch outside of the soccer pitch.
Yeah, but he doesn't have to use his hands. He could actually just, like, Muay Thai, freaking swing that monster of a leg and probably break both my ankles.
Mm.
But anyway. He's got an ugly face.
Sure does.
I don't like it.
Plays like a bitch.
Yeah, and I just want to...
Physically assault him.
Yeah.
Hypothetically.
Hypothetically. You know, just punch those fucking chompers right out of his face.
What is it? Christoffen Kaputz? What is it?
Kaputz?
Yeah. Pissoffen... What's the phrase? The German phrase.
I have no idea where you're going with this.
To
Did
punch
I say
someone
it
in the face that is in need of a punch.
Backpfeifen Gesicht.
Well, I haven't.
The lead in wasn't great. We said Turk. No, what did you say?
Kaputz.
Oh, that's what. Yeah. I was like, well, this. I was like, someone named Christoph? Backpfeifen Gesicht.
That's it. All right.
So that's it. I want a really big. I want the biggest. How do you say big in. Do you know how to say big in German? No, you just know how to say I have diarrhea.
Yeah. You call me Dirk Schwab.
Still makes me laugh. But yes, so for all those reasons and more, Bruno is the one I want to fucking just absolutely punch in the face.
100% support. And this was not, we could like circle back. We could do like a bonus one next episode for Manchester United. Because I bet we could probably roll out another few names.
We could, but we're not going to.
Fine.
But are you interested who we are going to backpfeifen gesicht next episode?
I sure am.
We're going to do, Pat, I hope you're listening, buddy, because we talked about it earlier. We're going to do West Ham United.
We haven't done them yet?
No.
No shit.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
I'm a little concerned now for my own health. Because this is like the second or third time.
This is the 13th that we've done 13
no shit
teams.
Huh.
Yep, West Ham.
Yeah. Hammers, let's do it.
Let's do it. No tie-in, just for the fact that Pat and I were talking about it, and I just felt like it was time to talk about his beloved team and who on that team we want to punch in the face.
I sneaky like them. They're in my like Aston Villa tier. If I had to make like tiers, I feel like West Ham and Aston Villa are in like that next tier of like, you know what? Good for them. Anyway.
Well, you got to pick somebody, buddy.
Well, I'm definitely going to assault someone, theoretically.
All right, Rye. Now that we've wrapped up our backpfeifen gesicht, let's give our final thoughts and score on the line. If it hasn't changed, don't really need to rehash it. Just
no, it hasn't really. It stayed consistent. I feel like we're getting better as it pertains to tasting, or I'm just faking it until I make it.
That's what I think I'm going to do.
Solid wine. It makes me want to grill meats because I feel like it would go well with charred pork. or beef if you're looking to pair wine with food. Definitely something you should pick up. I like it. I think it holds up well. No real negative things to say about it. It stayed consistent the whole time. I'll go like 8.4. Like 8.3, 8.4. I'll take the higher one just because it's what I said first. Like, I dig it. I think it's good.
Do you remember, did you call it what the alcohol content was on it?
I did not.
If you have it, if it's readily available. While you look for that.
15%.
Wow. So, okay. Because I was just going to say that it is, feels very easy drinking, doesn't feel boozy.
Yeah, and the next thing you know, you get your pants off at a kid's birthday party.
They're already there.
Is it out?
You know what I found? It's funny. It's like, I don't find myself like getting the sweats like I do from like other red wines.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, I think, nice balance, good flavor. Light on the palate. I'm going to go 7.8. I think it's a solid wine.
I like that. I like that for you.
Yeah. So yeah, 7.8 and an 8.4.
The amount of times the word bodega is on the back of this bottle
15%
is...
though, that's...
It doesn't feel like a 15.
Yeah, no. Which I think kind of like speaks to how easy drinking it is.
Because the Messiah, I was like turning the corner getting fucked up.
Uh-huh.
This is a much easier 15%.
Yeah. Well, Rye.
Yes.
Now that we've given our final score, it's time to tell the people what we will be drinking next episode.
Yes. I will do that.
Okay.
Okay. Next episode, we're going to be drinking a California Sonoma County Zinfandel.
California.
Yeah. Take the 405 down to the 10, bruh. It is called, and I love this. I wish my eyes were better so I could see the full label from across the room. It is called Sin Zin, which hopefully will get you in the sin bin if you know what I'm talking about.
It's very sultry, the label.
Oh, it looks it. There's skin. I can see that. It looks like either an adult diaper or maybe like a loincloth of sorts.
I'd go with the loincloth.
Nice.
Yeah. Rather than we decided to put Depends on our wine label. So
bottle's got tits.
Show your tits.
I can't see that far to be like...
I don't think it might. But the reason for it is it comes from Sonoma County, and it was... Sonoma County was the closest region I could find to Silicon Valley. Obviously, tech capital. And the reason for that is next episode's topic, we're going to be discussing the very controversial use and of VAR. Yeah. So bring some personal biases in there, but overall, kind of overall thoughts of what we think. Do we think it's good for the game, bad for the game? Do we think it could be better? So on and so forth. So we'll be drinking a Zinfandel.
Sinvin.
And talking about VAR. Ryan, we would love to keep going, wouldn't we?
Oh, I sure shit would. Yeah. I want to assault numerous more players.
We'll do it in our personal time.
Okay.
All right. So we would love to keep going, but after VAR review, big mark D's, we are officially out of wine, and thus we'll need to put the final cork in this episode and say, listen to us next time on another exciting episode of Vino Volley. So Rye Guy, take us home.
Folks, always remember, sip and soccer responsibly. We bid you a Freddy adieu.